Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned that the months in Islam are 12, and four of them are sanctified months, the month of Muharram being one of them. The significance of Muharram was long established before the martyrdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandson. And those that celebrate in the month of Muharram the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandson, they are doing something which is incorrect, as the fadilat of Muharram has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in numerous hadith. The fasts in the month of Muharram, they were prescribed before the fasts of Ramadan. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina and he saw the Jews fasting in the month of Muharram, he asked them that, why are you fasting in the month of Muharram? What is the reasoning behind it? So they said, they responded that this was the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us deliverance from Fir'aun. It is understood that this day is Passover. However, the day of Passover, there's no fasting. If you ask the Jews now, there's no fasting on the day of Passover. The Jews of Medina incorrectly informed the Prophet ﷺ that this was the day that they achieved deliverance from Fir'aun. This was because the religion, Judaism at the time, was extremely distorted. Rather, the day of Ashura specifically is Yom Kippur, which when translated into English, it means the Day of Atonement. And this is what Ashura is, right? The Day of Atonement. This is where if one fasts Yawmul Ashura, then it expiates the previous sins. It serves as a kafara for the previous sins. So it is not Passover. There's no fast associated in the Judaic religion. However, Yom Kippur, there's a 25-hour fast that the Jews keep. And the Jewish calendar, I've mentioned this before, it's a lunar solar calendar. It's a lunar solar calendar. So in one aspect, they are following the lunar calendar, and another, they are adding days so that Passover comes on the same day each year in the solar calendar. Right? That's why you notice that Yom Kippur falls on the same day. Passover falls on the same day, because they add days to their lunar calendar so that it coincides with our Gregorian calendar, you know, January to December. It is called intercalation, nasi. This was very common amongst the Jews. And one of the great mathematicians by the name of Allama Biruni, he mentions this, that they would intercalate days so that their days, their celebrations coincided with the solar calendar. So it was a lunar solar calendar that they adopted. And to this day, they continuously adopt this method of adding days to the lunar calendar so that their holidays coincide with, you know, the same months. So regardless, this Passover, this was because influence of the Kabbalah, perhaps, in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. This was why they were so far away from the religion of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And a lot of their teachings were distorted because they did not keep to them. And there was constant changing in the Torah. Irrespective of that, the month of Muharram, the fadilat of the month of Muharram, as I said, it is due to the Prophet ﷺ establishing the fada'il and merits of Muharram. And prior to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anh and his martyrdom, many Sahaba also were killed in the month of Muharram, but their death is not celebrated by any. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, he was stabbed in the month of Zilhijjah and he passed away first of Muharram. So no one celebrates Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh's death. So then why specify it to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anh? This is a misconception. And many other Sahaba also passed away. If great luminaries, you know, if they pass away, if they die in a specific month, that doesn't make the month. It doesn't make the month a merit-worthy month. Rather, it is the merit of that individual that he passed away in this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already established the sanctity of the month of Muharram, as mentioned in the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sanctity of Muharram was long established before Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was even born. So then why celebrate the days of Muharram? By lamenting, by mourning, by tearing the clothes, by beating the self. Whereas Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu himself advised his sister that Ya Ukhayyata, that oh my dear sister, Inni Uqsimu Alaik, that I swear, I am taking an oath, right, that La Tashqi Alayya Jayban, that at my passing, he knew that he was going to be martyred. He knew, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was informed, and he knew that he was going to be martyred. So he tells his sister, he advises his sister, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, that La tashqi alayya jayban, that do not rip your clothes on my behalf. Don't rip your clothes on my behalf. Wala takhmishi, don't scratch yourself. Don't hit yourself. Don't beat yourself. Wala tadi'i alayya bil waili wa thubur. And don't do baddu'a. Don't do baddu'a on my behalf for anyone. Don't say anything wrong to anyone on my behalf. If I am to die, if I am to die tomorrow, then don't do any of these things. But they do exactly that, and this is wrong. This is extremely wrong. They are going against the advice of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, and at times they go against the advice and nasihat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu as well. It is the sign of iman that one loves each and every one of the companions, as I mentioned before. Previously, that the love of the companions is a sign of one's faith. If one does not love the companions, then his iman is not complete. His faith is not complete. Rather, it is incomplete. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has loved them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed them paradise. They had the privilege of being in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a privilege. And each and every one of them enjoyed the Prophet ﷺ's company. Just sitting with the Prophet ﷺ for a little while, just looking at him in the state of iman and dying on the state of iman, this is enough for their salvation. This is enough for their salvation. And there are people, they are cursing the Sahaba, they are cursing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they are cursing Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and they are cursing many other Sahaba, many other companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are we? Who are we to curse the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has guaranteed Jannat for them. So a poet, he very aptly takes the name of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, and he shows how much love he has for each and every one of them. So he starts and he says that Inni uhibbu Aba Hafsin wa shi'atihi, that I love Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and I love his family. Kama uhibbu Atiqan sahib al-dari, sahib al-ghari, like I love Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave. Wa qad raditu Aliyan qudwatan, I am satisfied with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu as my guide, as my murshid. I am satisfied. After the demise of Hazrat Ali, after his martyrdom, they used to have khutbas and sermons where they would vilify. They would vilify and they would abuse the name of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu karamallahu wajha. وَقَدْ رَدِيتُ عَلِيًّا قُدْوَةً وَمَا رَدِيتُ بِقَتْلِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الدَّارِ. But I'm not satisfied how Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed in his own home. His own home and he was killed. This is a place of security. The home is a place of security. This is a place of aman. This is a place where we are where we are at peace. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu could not find any peace. Rather, he was killed. وَمَا رَدِيتُ بِقَتْلِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الدَّارِ كُلُّ الصَّحَابَةِ سَادَاتِ كُلُّ الصَّحَابَةِ سَادَاتِ وَمَا عَلَيَّ بِقَوْلِ عَارِ. Each and every companion is my elder. Each and every companion is my elder. So have I said something wrong? This poet is saying, have I said something wrong by saying this? What have I said? إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَبَا حَفْسٍ وَشِيَعَتِهِ كَمَا أُحِبُّ عَتِيقًا صَاحِبَ الْغَارِ وَقَدْ رَدِيتُ عَلِيًّا قُدْوَةً وَمَا رَدِيتُ بِقَتْلِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الدَّارِ كُلُّ الصَّحَابَةِ سَادَاتِ كُلُّ الصَّحَابَةِ سَادَاتِ فَهَلْ أَلَيَّ مِنْ قَوْلِ عَارِ. Beautiful shi'r. Beautiful shi'r. So is there any fault by me saying that I love the companions? Of course not. There's nothing. I have not said anything wrong. So this is a sign of faith. And to truly understand the sacrifices of the companions, one must read the tabi'een. How the tabi'een, they enjoyed the company of the sahaba and what they got. You know, what they learned from the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. Now people, it is commonly known that the people most beloved to a person are his family and progeny. And as mu'mineen, we follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we take a look at the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great love for Ahlul Bayt. And as people, we love Ahlul Bayt. This is the sign of Iman. The Manaqib in Mishkat, there's a whole chapter dedicated towards the love that a mu'min, a Muslim should have for Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's progeny, it continued from Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and her family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wishes to rid you of spiritual faith, spiritual filth, such as sin, O members of the household of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to purify you thoroughly from all evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Ahzab. And this surah was revealed in respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives. And another thing is that they were also in this surah, this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under this ayah, the mufassirin, they have mentioned Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua. He took Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali, and Hazrat Hassan and Hussein under a blanket, and he made this dua that, O Allah, they are also from my Ahlul Bayt. So you rid them of spiritual filth and you purify them. You rid them of spiritual filth and you purify them. So without doubt, this dua was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were then included in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mentioned in this ayah. Now, these are some of the ahadith that are mentioned in Mishkat. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, he narrates that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hajjatul Wida' on the day of Arafah. He was seated on his camel Qaswa, and he was addressing the people, and I heard him saying, I leave with you two things by means of which, if you hold firmly to you, will never be misguided: the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. Because each and every one of the Prophet ﷺ's family, they rigidly followed Rasulullah ﷺ and his teachings, the prophetic teachings, the Quran and the Sunnah. They would adhere to that. They would adhere to that strongly. This was the quality. This was because the barakat of Rasulullah ﷺ's dua. Hazrat Zayd bin Arqam, radiallahu anhu, narrates that Rasulullah ﷺ said regarding Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein, that I declare war on the person who opposes them, and I am at peace with the one who is good to them. This is also mentioned in Mishkat. The meaning of this hadith is that whoever loves them, loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever dislikes them, dislikes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was also regarding the Sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, in general, that whoever dislikes any of the Sahaba is not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not from the prophetic teachings. The ahadith are many, and a common question that is asked, that what was the relationship between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family, the Ahlul Bayt, and the other Sahaba, especially the Khulafa'i Rashideen, a very oft debated topic. That what was their relationship? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about the Sahaba and their relationship with one another in various ayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and based on these ayat, we understand that the Sahaba, they had an excellent relationship, a very close relationship amongst them, with the Ahlul Bayt. And inshallah, I'm going to, there are a couple of points that we should consider and we should understand, because it's possible that in the future these questions may be posed, or we may come across certain literature that may or may not influence us. So it is important that we are informed about these things. So first and foremost, we need to reflect and understand some very important aspects. Number one, a name given to a child is very significant, and this significance cannot be denied. When we choose a name for our child, we make sure that it is a unique name, it is a good name, and it has a good meaning. Yes? So this is very significant. We're not going to name, you know, our child with a Christian or Jewish name, John or David or names such as that. We are going to give them a good name, you know, Muhammad and Abdurrahman or Abu Bakr or Hazrat Umar, Ali, Uthman. We are going to give them good names. So, and the question is that which, now a person has a relationship with his daughter. Now which person is going to marry off his daughter to a criminal, or to a person that has perpetrated so much harm against his family? And this is something that, you know, people, the Shia, they continuously deny that this never happened. In a hadith mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, it is in the, I believe in the third or second or third volume, he comes to the Sahaba and he says that, will you not congratulate me? He says it a couple of times. He was Amirul Mu'mineen at the time. So the Sahaba, they said that, okay, on what should we congratulate you about? They said, today I married the daughter of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umm Kulsum. And when he came to ask the hand of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's daughter, he said that, oh Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that all ties and all familial relations will be severed on the Day of Judgment except my nasab and my hasab. Everything will be severed. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he immediately understood that he wants to marry, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wants to marry Umm Kulsum. So he agreed to this. This is authentic hadith mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba. Authentic hadith. And of course, the other group denied that this ever happened, that there was no marriage that took place, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu never had a daughter. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he never had a daughter by the name of Hazrat Umm Kulsum. Another point to consider is that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he had three sons. Well, he had more sons, but he named three of his sons after the first three Khulafa'i Rashideen: Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, and Hazrat Uthman. And all three of them became shaheed in the battle of Karbala. In the battle of Karbala, all three of them became shaheed with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Similarly, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, he named three of his sons: Abu Bakr bin Hassan, Umar bin Hassan, and Talha bin Hassan. These were names of great companions. And all three of them also became shaheed in the battle of Karbala. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu named his son Umar bin Hussein. Zainul Abidin, Hazrat Ali Zainul Abidin, the grandson of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, named his daughter Aisha and his son Umar. So this shows that there was good conduct. Right? Of course, the Shia, you know, they accuse that they give some stories about Ghadir-e-Khum. Has anyone heard of Ghadir Khum? Ghadir Khum is while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from Hajjatul Wida', he came to a place called Ghadir Khum. It was a pond, and it was called Khum. And over there, he said that Ali is my Mawla. Ali is my Mawla. He is my helper. You know, he is someone that I love. Right? And everyone should follow him, should follow Hazrat Ali. So over there, the Shias, they say that from this hadith is an indicator that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was most deserving of Khilafat after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's a scholar by the name of Allama Khalid Mahmud Sab. Allama Khalid Mahmud Sab. I had the privilege of doing two or three hadiths from him while I was in England. He was a direct student of Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani. You know the Tafsir Usmani? Direct student of his. So once he came to Nottingham, where I was a student, and he took our test. So he mentioned the story that you guys need to be aware of certain things. He's a big time munazir. He wrote an eight volume book on Brilvi, on just Brilvis. He was a very great munazir in the 80s. I think some of his videos are on YouTube as well. Allama Dr. Khalid Mahmud Sahib. He's a PhD, very educated, and I think he's from the Punjab area, if I'm not mistaken. So very great munazir. So he mentioned two, three points, and one comes specifically to mind. That didn't the Prophet ﷺ in Hajjatul Wida', wasn't it revealed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed the deen? Right? Was the deen not complete? So if the deen was complete, right, then you know Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu being a khalif is not even part of deen. This is an intizami thing. But they consider it a part of creed. The Shias, they have considered that the Khilafat of Ali radiallahu anhu is a part of their doctrine. And this is not the case. This was an intizami amr, an intizami situation. And when looking at it from a perspective, doesn't it make sense rationally that Rasulullah ﷺ would mention this in Hajjatul Wida', where the gathering was great, rather than an obscure place like Ghadir Khum? Doesn't that make sense? Why not mention it, right, at Hajjatul Wida', where all the Sahaba were present, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is my Mawla and he should be the leader after I pass away, instead of Ghadir Khum, an obscure place? And like this, there are many other incidents that the Shia they quote, and they try to make it look like that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he was just doing taqiyya. Another thing is the famous incident of Fadak. First of all, can Hazrat Fatima, who lived her whole life in such an austere state, she lived a life of poverty. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu lived a life of poverty. And throughout their lives, the Ahlul Bayt, they didn't have much. She came to ask for Fadak, the land of Fadak. And this land, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was two things. There was two sources of revenue that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, and they would benefit the Muslims in general. One was Mala Ghanimat, and one was Mala Fay. These were two sources of revenue where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into possession of, and this revenue would benefit the Muslims who were in poverty. And in those days, the welfare system was very simple. That, you know, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَاهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ إِلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. That take from the rich and give to the poor. Very simple way to, you know, take revenue. This was the norm. That they would take from the rich and give to the poor so that they have something to eat as well. So this malif, this Fadak, the land of Fadak, this came into the possession of the Prophet ﷺ. It was owned by some Jews, and it came to Rasulullah ﷺ. Now, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, first of all, she was not materialistic. She had assumed that this land, not because it was miras, but because it was a gift, but no one was aware of it. No one was aware that this land was gifted to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this stayed within the possession of the Muslims. And Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, even Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, when he became Khalif, this is the unusual thing, that Tika, Hazrat Abu Bakr, he didn't give it. Let's assume that he did something wrong. He didn't give it to Hazrat Fatima. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu didn't give it to Fatima. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu didn't give it to Fatima. When Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu became Khalif, then what? Why wasn't the lands given to his progeny? When Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu became Khalif, he came into control of the land of Fadak. Why didn't he give it to his progeny? So then, why accuse Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, oh, they did zulm? Why accuse Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and say that he did zulm? Why accuse Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu and say that he did zulm and he didn't give the lands to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha? But you don't accuse Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, you don't accuse Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu when they had complete control over the Muslim Ummah, and they had great respect, they commanded great respect amongst the Sahaba. And this land, it continuously was used in their time for the welfare of the Muslims. Rasulullah ﷺ would use this land for the welfare of the Muslims. So this is another thing that they accuse the Khulafa'i Rashideen about, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, and Hazrat Uthman. Now, I mentioned the relationship. Another thing is that let us look at their relations in the third aspect of praising for each other. Once a person came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and said, what has become of the Muhajireen and the Ansar? They have elevated Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu above you, whereas you are superior to him in your virtues, status, and actions. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he replied to that person saying that if it was not for the fact that a believer is in the protection and dhimma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would have killed you. I would have killed you. I am extremely dismayed at what you have said, at your statement. This, what you have said, is really bad. What you have said is awful, it's terrible. Hazrat Abu Bakr has surpassed me in four aspects. He accepted Islam before me. He was made the Imam before me. He also surpassed me with regards to the incident of Hijrah. He migrated with the Prophet ﷺ and accompanying the Prophet ﷺ in the cave. He was also ahead of me in spreading of Islam. He has preceded me in all of these things. From here we understand the excellent relationship between Ahlul Bayt and the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. In another hadith found in Musnad Ahmad, Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, he was with his son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu an. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an, he took Hazrat Hassan radiallahu an and he played with him and he put him on his shoulder. And he says, Wabi Abi, Shibhun Nabi, Laysa Shabiham Bi Ali. That by my father, he doesn't resemble Ali, he resembles the Prophet ﷺ. And Ali radiallahu anhu was laughing. And so they had great love. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had great love for Hazrat. Once Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu while he was delivering khutbah. And he said, get down, you're on my grandfather's pulpit. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu did not say anything to him. He didn't say nothing. He didn't reprimand him. He didn't do anything. Rather, the relationship with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and the Ahlul Bayt was very cordial. Rasulullah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, established stipends for each and every one of the Ahlul Bayt. Each and every one of the Ahlul Bayt was receiving stipends from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu had done the same thing. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, when the whole fitna took place, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had appointed both of his sons, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein, to protect the doors of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he became extremely angry at his sons when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was ultimately martyred by the rebels. Right? They, you know, scaled the walls and they martyred him. So now, a brief, and whatever I'm reading right now, this is a summarization of Mufti Shafi Sahib's Urdu Risala. It's approximately 111 pages. And I think from what I've read so far, I read all 111. It took me about a week. My Urdu is very slow. But I think Mufti Shafi Sahib, he has done a great service by compiling all the information into a concise 111-page Risala. And you know, if someone wants to read it, then it can be found online as well. Just type in Mufti Shafi Saab and Karbala or something in Urdu, and you'll find it, PDF version of it. I don't have the book form, I just read it in PDF and I saved it on the computer. So a brief summary of the Battle of Karbala and martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. This is also an oft-quoted incident. So we should understand that every page of history is a place of lesson for mankind. And the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, his family and his companions, we can never forget it. Because this is dealing with the Ahl al-Bayt. And each and every Muslim, they perceive the pain and tragedy whenever they read it. But many lessons, Mufti Shafi Saab, he mentions that there are many lessons that can be found in this whole incident. Now, we know that after Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu passed away, and when Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, and I'm going to keep it very short because it's a very long incident. So we know that Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he ultimately became the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And after he knew that ultimately he is going to leave this world, he tried to secure bay'ah and allegiance from the Sahaba. But they declined. They said, this is not appropriate. Khilafah is not something hereditary. It is not something to be inherited. Rather, you should adopt the prophetic model, either by not announcing anyone, like the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, he just indicated that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should be the leader. But Rasulullah ﷺ didn't make any mention that, you know, who should become Khalif. Right? Or make mention, like Hazrat Abu Bakr, how he chose Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Or a panel, having Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu mention six people, that these six people choose from amongst them. These are the three ways that Khalif should be chosen, not by, you know, hereditary. That it's not something to be inherited. So this was Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, this is what he did, that ultimately appointed Yazid as his successor. And Yazid, he tried to secure bay'ah from each and every person. So when Yazid came into power, he demanded the oath of allegiance, bay'ah, from each and every individual. And this was the Arab tradition, that each and every individual must give bay'ah on the Khalif's hand. And the message, Yazid's message, was delivered to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he, you know, uttered the famous words that someone like me cannot follow someone like Yazid. You know, I am Hussein, I am the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I cannot follow him. This person is an open sinner. And even afterwards, you know, after the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, you know, he dealt with Ahl al-Bayt with a lot of goodwill and a lot of love and understanding. But this was because many people started to accuse him. They started to accuse him that, oh, this is, you know, look what you did. You killed the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And, you know, he showed remorse upon that. But Mufti Shafi Saab, he says that later on his actions, they were contrary to this. It was a political ploy. It was a political strategy. Right? But his actions said otherwise. So Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, ultimately, He left Medina, right? Because he was afraid that they will coerce him to give bay'ah. And he established residence outside of Makkah. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, the people of Kufa, they contacted Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. And the people of Kufa, they were, you know, fickle-minded people. And although, you know, Farazdak Shair, he met Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu while he was traveling to Kufa, he said that their hearts are with you. The people of Kufa, their hearts are with you. They have extreme love for you. But their swords are with Banu Umayyah. Their swords and their talwareh, Banu Umayyah ke saath hai. Toh wo aapki ittiba nahi karenge. They are not going to be your muttabi'een. So it's best that you don't go. But Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he continued. Anyway, to keep a long story short, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he decided to send his cousin, Muslim ibn Aqil, and he was killed mercilessly by Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. Nu'man bin Bashir, he was the governor at the time, a Sahabi, and he was deposed from his position. And this Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, he became the governor. He was a ruthless, an awful and ruthless individual. And when Muslim ibn Aqil, he was taking bay'ah from the people of Kufa, and 18,000 people gave bay'ah. 18,000 people gave bay'ah that we will follow Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. But Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, he was a politician, and he would give khutbahs, and he would deliver khutbahs, and he would deliver threats to the people that, you know, if you go against Banu Umayyah, then, you know, this is going to be your anjam. This is going to be your end result. It's going to be really bad for you. So ultimately, Muslim ibn Aqil, he sought refuge in the house of Han ibn Urwa, and he was residing there secretly. Ultimately, he was caught by Ibn Ziyad, and after asking him certain questions, he was, you know, taken to the ramparts of the, you know, top of the house, and he was killed over there. Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, he was a very brave person, very brave man. And before he was caught, he fought against the forces of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, and he killed so many, and he became martyred like this. Now, Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, he begged before his departure, he was crying, and he begged that, let me, you know, I'm not crying for myself and for my death, but I'm crying for Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, because he is not aware of the situation of what is happening in Kufa. Because as far as he is concerned, he thinks that he has 18,000 supporters, right? So regardless of this, Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, he was martyred by this Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he departs for Kufa, right, because of this letter that reached him, that, you know, he has 18,000 supporters. A lot of eminent Sahaba and children of Sahaba, they tried to dissuade Hazrat Hussein from going to Kufa, but he was determined to go over there. Now, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu and his caravan and many members of the Ahlul Bayt, they reached this place called Karbala and Muharram II, and they were forced to, you know, camp on dry and bare land. They were intercepted over here by Ibn Ziyad's army, and it was led by this person named Hur ibn Yazid. So Hussein radiallahu anhu, he asked the army that, are you with us or against us? He goes, no, we are against you. You know, we're going to fight you, and we're not going to let you pass. So during the salat times, they would offer salat behind Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, but because of Banu Umayyah and their influence, they had to fight for Yazid and, you know, Umayyah. They were extremely powerful. So Ibn Ziyad, things became very difficult. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he said that he requested one of the commanders by the name of Umar ibn Sa'ad that, you know what, just let me be. I don't want my family to be harmed. Either, you know, you allow me to return from where I came, or you give me the opportunity to discuss directly with Yazid, or you send me to a border, to a Muslim state, where I can live a normal life. When Ibn Ziyad heard this, he said that, okay, yeah, this sounds pretty good. But this Shimr Zil Joshan, this is the guy that, he was a, this person was the one that ordered, instigated the killing of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. So he said that, no, don't do this. You know, he's going to gather strength, and he's going to come after, you know, the head of Banu Umayyah again. So it's best that you just deal with him right now. This Shimr bin Joshan, he coaxed Ibn Ziyad not to be misled, and he warned that, you know, Hussein radiallahu anhu is going to come stronger. So the army, so they said that, you know, he should, you know, fighting should take place. So now Ibn Ziyad radiallahu anhu, Umar bin Sa'ad, when he heard this, he was reluctant to fight. So he sent this Shimr Zil Joshan as the chief commander to replace this Umar ibn Sa'ad. The battle begins, and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he starts fighting. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu's companions, they were what, about 32 people, 32 horsemen and 40 infantry, and they started fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for upholding the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for upholding the prophetic traditions. Ultimately, there's a lot of details. I'm not going to go into it. Ultimately, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, there was no water, and Abbas bin Ali, one of the cousins of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he was sent by Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu to gather water, but they would not allow him. He was shot at, and he was they fought against him. But he still, regardless of this, he still brought back 40 kya kehte hain mashkize, he still bought about 40 mashkizes or gallons of water for the army. So, and this was near the Euphrates River. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he continued to fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And but he was, because of thirst, parched and very tired, the wounds he suffered, many wounds, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, more than 30 wounds he suffered in this battle of Karbala. And that whenever the enemy, wherever Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu went to fight, even in this state, he continued to fight. He would not stop. He was relentless. And wherever he went, the enemies from around him, they would disperse, because he was a very strong and powerful warrior. And each one of these warriors, they were also reluctant to kill Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, because he was the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this Shimr ibn Joshan, he came up with the solution that, you know what, let us not go against him one on one. Let's 10 of us at one time, simultaneously, we will do hamla on him. And this is exactly what happened. They did hamla, they attacked him, and ultimately, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he was martyred. And this Shimr ibn Joshan, he was the one that told Khawla ibn Yazid to sever his head from his body. The details are very gory details, and it's not something that we should get into. Yeah. Regardless, the gist of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu's mission, it can be summarized, and this is what Mufti Shafi Sahib mentions, that as follows, that to promote the Quran and Sunnah in the correct manner, to reestablish the justice system of Islam, to combat monarchy against Khilafah, not to be overawed by wealth or power in proclaiming the truth, to have full trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter how great the trial may be. And we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to follow the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and his Ahlul Bayt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and understanding. The people that killed Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, it comes that their faces were blackened, their hands became paralyzed. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, his neck was severed by this person named Mukhtar al-Saqafi, who claimed prophethood later on. He was a very wretched man. So Mukhtar al-Saqafi, he launched an investigation into the killers of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. And this Mukhtar al-Saqafi, he later on claimed prophethood as well. So he severed the head of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, and when Ubaidullah bin Ziyad's head was brought, a serpent went into the mouth and it came outside and went back inside and stayed there. Right. So many people, some of them were burned alive, some of them died of extreme thirst. Each one of this has been mentioned in Mufti Shafi Sahib's Risala. Very interesting read. So how each and every one of them, they died. They died a very horrible death. All those people that were involved in the martyrdom of the Ahl Bayt, who were involved in the Taklif, even Yazid, he saw no rahat after the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. He himself remained Amir for 2 years, after which Muawiyah took the throne. He died of a sickness as well. And then his son, Muawiyah the second, he took the throne, and after that Marwan came, and then Abdul Malik bin Marwan, and then, you know, the Khalifs after that. So these people, they suffered extremely for doing this zulm and oppressing the Ahl Bayt, and for being involved in the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us love for Ahl Bayt, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the truly reality of Muharram. The significance of Muharram is not something specific to the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. This the significance of Muharram is something that was established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam way before the birth of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.